people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know about you, but when I was reading that passage from Amos over the course of this week, my heart just kind of went in my throat when I thought about people seeking the word of the Lord and not being able to find it. So what does all of this mean, and how do we as Christians understand it when we just heard in Colossians Paul's words about the word of the Lord going out and that the word of the Lord would be proclaimed to all? So where do we meet these two senses of God upon our hearts? A God who can be angry with us and want to withhold his word, and a God who loves us enough to send his son to die for us. So that's what we're going to do a little bit this morning, as we're going to hold these two in tension as we look at the word of the Lord. And I thought about that for a long time. Word. And I don't know how many of you in today's culture hear those young people going, word. And you wonder, well, what does word mean when they go, word? Well, I did some research. And when they're saying word, they're doing a few things. They're either affirming what was said to them, they're either acknowledging something, or they're saying, my word is my bond. Word for them means truth. It happened in prisons a lot when one another would make a bond, and all they would say, they would shorten it instead of my word is my bond, they'd say word. And the other would say word, as an acknowledgement that they acknowledged that contract that was between one another. Well, God's word is also God's creative power. It's also God's bond with us, that I will be your God and you will be my people. And we might respond, word. Because if we go to Genesis and we look at what happened there, when God spoke, God's word spoke creation into being. The universe was created. The complexity of the world was created by the spoken word of God. And from there, things developed and prospered, and man and woman were created in God's image, because God spoke us into creation. But if we were to flip over to the New Testament, we would also hear in John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was life. So not only was God there in the beginning, God's Word was there in the beginning, God's Logos, and we understand God's Logos to be Jesus Christ. So God and Christ were there at the beginning. The spoken Word of God that created through the breath of God, the Holy Spirit of God, created the universe. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right there at the beginning. And then at that time, God spoke with Adam and Eve. God walked and talked with them in the garden. And God spoke to Noah. And God spoke to Abraham. And God spoke to Moses. Remember, did you hear in Amos when he said, I will not pass by you again? Remember how God passed by Moses so that Moses might see his backside? God was going to withhold all of himself from his people. Why? Is the question. This God who loved us enough to create us, loved us enough to continually to call us back to him, wanted to withhold his word from us. Why? Did you pay attention to why that happened? Well, let me tell you a little bit about Amos. At the time that Amos was prophesying, he was a country boy. He was a shepherd. And he'd have to go every now and then into the city to sell his wool and do the things that shepherds do in the city. And what he got to see in the city was that unfair practice that was happening in Jerusalem. That the merchants were getting richer and the poor were getting poorer. And that disparity between those who have and those who have not was growing. And what was the word of God about that? What was the law of Moses about that? What were the people supposed to be doing? The people who called God their father. They were supposed to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, take care of the alien and the widow, that none shall be in need. And God was not seeing that happen. God was seeing those who were wondering if the preacher will get done by noon so that we can get to the restaurant, so that we can have lunch, and maybe worship's an inconvenience for my schedule that week. God was seeing those people and was angry and said, my word will not be among them. And after that, God did not walk the earth. That the only way the people heard the word of the Lord was through the prophets. And we know how much they listened to the prophets. What did they do if the prophets spoke and spoke too harshly? These were pretty harsh words to the people in Jerusalem. And you can guess, Amos was kicked out of Israel. They sent him back to Judah because they did not want to hear that word. So God's word, God's spoken word, was missing from the people. And they could go seeking it, but they could not find it until God came down from heaven in a babe in Bethlehem. And God's word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in that fleshly word, people not only heard the word of the Lord, they saw the word of the Lord, and they experienced the healing power of God. And God loved us enough to die for us so that we might have life and have it abundantly. And then God called, through Jesus Christ, called his disciples, called his apostles, called you and called me to spread that word so that, as Paul says, we could make the word of God fully known. God has gone from a vengeful, angry God that was holding his word to a God who loved us enough to die for us and has asked us to make his word fully known. So what are we to make fully known? We are to make fully known to those who do not know him, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, God incarnate, to make that healing opportunity presented to those who need to receive, those who need to know that they are loved by God, to hear about the one who loved them enough to die for them. Paul is reminding us that we are to proclaim to everyone and to warn everyone who does not accept that gift of grace what may be coming to them, that they may become the ones who do not hear the word of the Lord. As disciples, we are to make the word of the Lord fully known, so that others may know the saving grace of Jesus Christ, to know the love of God, and to know the power of the Holy Spirit, that all may be fed, that all may be clothed, that all may have shelter, and all may be healed. That in Christ there is no slave, no master, no Jew, no Gentile, no male, no female. There, we could add no rich and no poor, because all are one in Christ Jesus. And we have the responsibility to ensure that when people seek the word of the Lord, it shall be found. Think about all the distractions that we have that drown out the word of the Lord for our day. Think about the times that you might consider doing your devotion that morning, but the phone rings, or a news story catches you, or this happens, or that happens, and the devotion gets ignored. and God's word gets ignored. And that time that you set aside to pray when, oh no, this has to be done. Or maybe I'll spend some more time on Facebook because I know someone's going to be there and I'll chat with them at that time. The things that distract us are a multitude compared to that which can give us life and give us life abundant. It isn't that this is where it is. It is this that directs us to the one who can give us life, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we don't enter into God's word that is written, then the word that is within us. Remember Paul's words at the end of Kay's readings? To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are the hope to the world with Christ, the Word of God that dwells within us. And our commission is to go forth and proclaim that word to others who need to hear it. And I want to leave us with this thought by Thomas Merton from his book, Opening the Bible. There is, in a word, nothing comfortable about the Bible until we manage to get so used to it that we make it comfortable for ourselves. But then we are perhaps too used to it and too at home in it. Let us not be too sure we know the Bible just because we have learned not to have problems with it. Have we perhaps learned not to really pay attention to it? Have we ceased to question the book and be questioned by it? Word. Our hymn of commitment, It Is Well With My Soul. It is hymn number 3.